All right, boom. We're back. We had 2 weeks off. It's good to be back. We had like our best episode ever when the waters came on. So
Ooh,
Zane,
pressure.
let's see if we can beat it.
Yeah, you
Zane
guys have got to be
Navratil,
scraping at
first
the bottom of the
recurring
barrel, apparently.
You're our first recurring
Yeah.
guest, and the only thing I could think was, please let his internet be better than it was last time. And so far, it looks pretty
Yeah,
good.
it looks
It
good.
can't be worse.
It was bad.
I don't think I'm even on the internet. I think I'm on my cell service this time. So,
That's,
lessons learned.
yeah, sometimes that works better.
Can
Welcome
we
back,
consider
Zane.
you friend of the program?
Sure, friend of the pod.
I think he was friend of the pod before we even got going.
Yeah,
I
but
mean,
like, I don't know. I
personal
want to give
friend of
it.
mine. Was he? I know you guys have been on a, rocky road, you and Zane, back and forth, but
Oh, yeah.
we're healing wounds, Thomas.
Yeah, right. Well,
Making amends.
Making
Yeah, that's what this
amends.
is. That's
We
what
need
this
a
is
beef
about.
history episode. I'm not even actually aware of any beef, but I think we should play this up.
You could come up with
Pickleball
something.
needs some more beef.
We have beef. You came out with a newsletter, dude.
That's true. Competing newsletter.
Wow.
You
Competing
subscribe. Give us
newsletters.
subscribe,
You gave us.
everybody. You guys think the dink is good? Just wait. Zane
You gave us a
Navratil
good shout,
newsletter.
though. You gave us a good shout, though, in the last issue. I saw that. I didn't see it at
Zane,
first, and I saw it.
what have you been up to? We've had the off season here.
Yeah.
You're writing a newsletter. Is that a weekly thing?
No, oh my goodness. Can you imagine people having
Dude.
weekly updates from me? No, that's a monthly deal.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think I took my off season a little bit too far, got a little bit bored, started writing a whole bunch of blog posts for the Dink. I'm pretty
Okay.
sure I have a surplus of like five or six articles written already. So yeah, you'll have to hit those up on the Dink blog. Let's see. Went to Miss America
Yes.
with my girlfriend, and she did
And
great. That was fun.
is this your first time at Miss America or yeah.
Yep, Miss America is a one-time deal, right?
You
So
can
you
only
win a
do it one time.
state title, and then you go to Miss America, and then you're done. Then it's retirement.
What's your girlfriend's name again?
Jennifer
Jen.
Schmidt.
Do you go by,
Yep.
does she, you call her Jen?
I call her Jenny.
Jenny. What's next for her then?
So she continues to be Miss Wisconsin for the rest of this year. It's her full-time job. She goes around the state, represents her sponsors, and goes to appearances such as business openings and educates kids at schools about her platform, which is related to prevention of type 2 diabetes. And so, yeah, she's busy doing that until June. And
And
then I
then,
get to join Shield Z over in Austin. So,
that's right.
wait, you're moving to Austin too?
yeah. When are you
Yeah.
moving, Tyson?
I don't know if I'm welcome there.
That sounds like good tea for the pod.
Yeah, no, I'm welcome there probably, but I already have built a life for myself here, Zane, in one of the meccas of pickleball. Do I need to then shift to a different mecca?
I would say
Can
so.
there only be one Mecca? Is Mecca something that is sort
I
of
think
like a
there's
thing, like a
I think
singular
no, I
thing?
think I mean I think geographical wise you could be like, oh, the Mecca of the Western United States, Arizona probably, or maybe
Got it.
Utah.
So you could be a Mecca of whatever as long as you make it really like I'm the Mecca of this hotel in Austin right now. Like
Sure.
this is
I mean
the
that's arguable, but yeah.
Mecca.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
Yes, that
there's probably someone.
yeah,
I
there's
didn't
probably
say that the
somebody
right way.
bigger than
There's
you in that
definitely
hotel.
somebody more important here than me. That's for sure.
So, okay, so Zane and Jenny are moving to Austin in June.
Probably July.
In
Yeah,
July.
yeah. Our lease
Next.
ends in July. So.
Okay. From Wisconsin, what are you going to do without those, or are you going to go back in the winters?
Probably
No,
not.
dude.
Like a reverse snowbird.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. It's about 12
You're
degrees right now.
That's serial killer move if you're a reverse
a
snowbird.
reverse snowbirder, dude. That would be man. I but
Red
just for the
flag number
reaction
one.
from people, I feel like somebody would.
Yeah.
There's somebody out there who would do it just for the reaction. Just be like,
Yeah.
yeah, I go to Arizona in the summers when it's 120, and as soon as it drops under 100, I go to Canada.
That
All
sounds like
right.
a
Well,
vlog.
yeah.
Zane, we don't have you for super long, but first thing I want to ask you about was your new camps that you have going in line with the APP. So those are launching here pretty soon, right?
Yeah. So we start the APP Academy has its first clinics over in Mesa on January 17th. It's at a brand new facility, Bell Bank Park. It'll be exciting.
I've been there all this week a bunch of times.
Yeah. How was the opening? I
already played there. The opening was good. They were still painting some of the courts, like surfacing them. So they had about half the courts open. Beautiful stadium court. It looks like it's going to be beautiful. They're still working on that, but they should have everything completed by this weekend, I believe. For sure by next week.
Perfect.
But
well, yeah, I mean, it looks beautiful, and I'm excited to get it started because we saw an opportunity for, you know, having a ton of highly invested amateur players at these APP events that myself and a lot of other pros are already going to be at. It seemed like a natural partnership with the APP to bring this on as part of their experience. And so really excited to teach alongside Vivian David for the first one in Mesa. And then over in Boca Raton, we have Martina Coakley and Grant Bond teaching alongside me as well. And so we try to do things a little bit differently, again, keeping it 8-1 because nobody likes those clinics where you get there and there's like 45 people. That's not our deal. Another big thing that I've heard in feedback is we want clinics that are divided by skill level, right? We don't want to be packed in, you know, 2.5s and 5.0s in a clinic.
So true.
So we run a 3.0, a 3.5, and a 4.0. And we do this up and down the river thing where basically we're doing a drill, we're working on skills, but you're kind of competing at the same time. So by the end of the clinic, the top 3.5 players are going to be on the top court and the bottom 3.5 players are going to be on towards the bottom of the court. So even within 3.5, you're going to be playing with the people that are most similar to your skill level.
And
go ahead.
Is it like an add-on to registration, or is it a completely separate thing? How are people signing up for these clinics?
Yeah, so it's not an add-on to registration, but it's done through my website, ZaneNavratilPickleball.com. And there's information about it being sent out by PickleballTournaments.com and on the APP tournament website as well.
So is this your brainchild? Did you approach the APP with this idea?
I did, yeah. I figured it was a natural sort of partnership and a great way for them to continue to build rapport with amateur players, a great way to utilize the functionality of having a host, right? Yep. So they have the APP Mesa Open is hosted by Dekel Barr and Vivian David. So Vivian and Dekel have the first dibs on teaching. And so I approached them. Vivian was all for it. Dekel told me to pound sand. And no, I'm just kidding. But so we're pretty pumped about it. We're going to be at all 27 domestic APP events this year. So
nice.
Lots of teaching.
You're a true entrepreneur, Zane.
Yeah, I'm an entrepreneur that likes playing pickleball.
Yeah, well, there you go. Then you figure it out the pickleball way.
Somebody already has the picklepreneur username. I don't think I would ever actually use that, but it was interesting. Somebody's already stolen it.
Yeah, any pun you could come up with pickleball, it seems like somebody has the handle somewhere, because I tried to come up with a bunch of them right when I came into the sport like 2.5 years ago, all of them taken.
And the domains.
Yeah, domains. It is tough to find domains. Yeah, it really is, dude.
It turns out this one kid I started playing pickleball with, like,
owns all of them.
When I was, you know, first just getting into the game, he comes up to me one day once I started the dink, and he was like, dude, I think I have a pretty solid domain. I'm like, what are you talking about? He started listing all the domains he bought like 3 years ago, just having to do with pickleball. Yeah. Like, you're one of those guys. Like, yeah. He has third, you know, there's that Third Shot Sports that it's like by Mark Grennison. He's got like thirdshotsports.com or something like that.
Yeah. So now the play is throw a bunch of garbage up on that domain and tell Mark Grennison is like, I can't be associated with that.
Blackmail him.
Yeah. And then he has to buy it. Yeah.
So do you guys know what the deal is with domain names of like people? Now, I don't think everybody has their own website,
right? I think legally, if someone had zanenavratil.com and you wanted it, you could get it. Mm-hmm. But there might be, some...
Really?
I think legal-wise, yes. But then, like, if they have some, like... if their name's also Zane or something, and it like, then it gets weird. I don't know exactly. The first time I went on Survivor, Twitter had just come out, and I toyed with the idea for weeks and weeks to take everyone's Twitter handle before the season aired. So by the time the season aired and they realized they should be on Twitter, I owned everybody on the season's handle. Dude, and I just,
there
was
you
like,
go.
I you always were so close to doing it. And I was like, this will just be funny. Like,
that's
I,
why
Pickle you Pod, your number one destination for legal advice.
Yes, exactly.
No, and yeah, and last episode was take marketing advice. Last episode, we were giving marketing and career advice to the Waters.
Yeah.
And style advice. Mm-hmm. And now we're doing legal advice.
So, Thomas, I want an audit of these votes. I don't know how I didn't get most stylish.
You're the auditor, dude. You're the
exactly. Let me see it.
So he needs to see the
how he wants to.
Yeah, this is what I think too. I also think that there's because my Fila person, Lucy Kovalova, she didn't like all dripping in that Fila swag, dude. And she's not winning most stylish.
Yeah, we should have. It's tough. I mean, some people are just fan favorites, and if you put them out there, they're just going to get voted.
It's true. Like,
people
can't
love the Waters.
Voting is broken, and I think we can
all agree
on that. But
they're pretty swaggy.
They're swaggy, and I agree that like they put the time in. Like, Zane, if you handmade all your pickleball outfits, of course you'd win.
2023.
You want to know what our biggest mistake was?
Michael's Fabric Store. What?
You want to know what our biggest mistake was in all of that?
No. Best? I feel like there's...
You left out Altoff. Are you kidding me? There's nobody more iconic than a tucked-in shirt on a 47-year-old Indian guy.
Yeah.
No. But I left him out for best on-court antics.
And he is fun on the court.
He DM'd us and was like, what the hell? And I was like, I can't even, like, you're right. I was like, I'm sorry. Like, you definitely belong on there.
Player of the year you left him out for too. I mean, there's a lot of things that you messed up.
And he didn't ask me to submit any of the players. He said, send me some categories we can have. So I sent him some category ideas, but I'm not guilty at all for leaving people off of those lists.
There we go. Way to take ownership, Tyson.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that's right. Okay, wait. So we have to, because again, Zane, we only have you for so long. We got to talk about all this news because a lot is going on in pickleball. Our subject line for the newsletter yesterday was the pickleball world was just turned upside down. I also had a typo in the subject line, which if you run a newsletter is literally the worst thing you can do. So that was pretty devastating. Mm-hmm. But the sentiment was true. There's a ton going on. And if I could just recap it really quickly, basically this guy, Tom Dundon, billionaire, owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, investor in Topgolf, Carvana, you know, he's got his private equity firm, or I mean, you could just call it an investment firm because I don't think there's really any like rhyme or reason. I think he's just a savvy investor. So he is a big investor in like Topgolf and in Carvana. He had actually become the majority investor in the Alliance of American Football, which was subsequently shut down and bankrupt, though he, if you kind of look into all that, essentially he was like misled when he made the investment.
You're not going to win them all either. Like,
you're not going to win them all.
Yeah.
But it is,
win is most of them.
He has a track record of investments in major sports, current owner again of the Carolina Hurricanes, and he's now the majority investor. That is the NHL hockey.
Okay.
He's now the majority investor in the Pro Pickleball Association. He also at the same time purchased Pickleball Central and PickleballTournaments.com, which were in the same ownership group already. But all three of those entities will now be combined to form Pickleball Inc. And
we should have bought PickleballInc.com.
Damn.
I think somebody see if it's available.
Yeah, quick.
I don't think you want to blackmail Tom Dundon. Let me just tell you that. But yeah, so a ton of breaking news there that I think completely changes the landscape of pickleball. I think from everything that I've heard, Tom Dundon has huge ambitions for where this league could go. And I think overall, anytime capital is funneling into the sport at that level, and somebody who's that accomplished is really, making themselves a leader in the sport, I think that's a good thing. But I know that there are a lot of differing opinions, especially with all the new contracts that are coming out and the way it kind of shakes up the different tours. And I think my philosophy is I'm going to just sit and watch what happens. But Zane, you're kind of in a unique position in that you're in the middle of all of it.
Sure,
Thomas, you're not going to get in there and shake things up and call Tom Dundon and, you know, have a word, etc. You're just going to sit back and watch.
As far as this podcast is concerned, I'm just going to sit back and watch.
Oh, okay.
Get him on here for the next one. Come on, get some real guests on here.
We've done that before. We've gotten real guests on before, Zane. Don't threaten us.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool to be in the middle of this, right? This is kind of my two worlds combining, which is pickleball, and then obviously I have the background as in business and auditing. I was working with Deloitte before I quit my job to be in pickleball, and so it's definitely extremely interesting to see larger capital investments made into the sport, and it's only a testament for the growth. I don't think anybody is buying pickleball and buying the things that Tom has purchased without understanding the growth behind it, right? And that which is the most exciting part. It'll be interesting to see. What I'm most interested to see is, for every action there's a reaction, right? And so I think there's going to be responses by other parties, right? There's going to be a response by USA Pickleball and Major League Pickleball and APP. And just like Thomas, I'm kind of just sitting here and eating my popcorn and watching it all play out. But you know, you need to have that first person come in, and then it legitimizes things for everybody else. So yeah. I'm just as excited to see what happens as you guys are. And I think from the player's perspective, with the new contracts, there's a bit of a bidding war, right?
Players. So can we just tie it all together? Because I guess it is all one conversation. I was going to wait to talk about the contracts, but.
Sure.
Just to give a little bit of background there for those who haven't been following along, the PPA, after this announcement was made, or pretty much right at the same time, they presented most of the top players in the game with new contracts that stipulated a number of things. But the most, I guess, like eye-catching and different would be the 100% exclusivity to the PPA Tour, which means you can't play APPs, no US Open, no Nationals, unless you have written approval. And the contracts were for 3 years in length. I know there were other details involved with the contracts, but those are kind of the two main details that have everybody going, hold on. And the APP kind of scrambling, and now, as we saw yesterday, responding with different moves or preparing to make different moves of their own. Mm-hmm. But sorry, Zane, you can kind of continue off that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting the length of duration of these new contracts, a 3-year deal, right? I compare 1 year in pickleball to a decade in the real world, just because the pace of change in pickleball is unbelievable, right? It's January of 2022. 3 years ago, what did the pro circuit look like? I don't think that the APP and PPA were even announced or even a thing in January of whatever that would be, 2019, right? I think the APP ran their first tournament in Chicago in July of 2019, if I'm not mistaken. And I think PPA was beginning in February of 2020. So look, I mean, in the last 3 years, we've had two new tours come up, completely new tours. So 3 years in pickleball is an enormous amount of time, just given the amount of change. But again, I think players are going to do obviously what they feel is best for themselves, right? Some people want the stability of knowing, hey, this is what I'm going to be doing for the next 3 years in pickleball. And I think in theory, some of the things that the PPA is trying to do by being fully exclusive make some sense, right? Maybe they can lobby on behalf of their players if the players want to go to an outside tournament, say a nationals. The PPA could have some leverage and say, hey, if you want our PPA players to come to nationals, you need to treat them and give them this, 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 and this, right? At the flip side, there's nothing obligating them to do that, as far as I see it, other than just good rapport with the players. And so it's a bit of a catch on both sides is how I see it. And I'm sure if you asked 30 different players, 30 different players would give you 30 different answers.
Yeah, that's and I think it's also, yeah, it's like one of those things that's like unknown currently as to how I think we've talked about this before, Zane, with the old existing PPA contracts, is that as long as the governing body that owns the contracts acts justly and in favor of the people that are contracted, then it's great, right?
Well, I tend to assume that either party is going to only act in accordance with their contract. And that's kind of the purpose of a contract. A contract, when you sign a contract, it implies that any verbal agreement is replaced by what's written, right? And yes. So you can say whatever it is that you want, but to protect yourself, I think you should base your decisions only off of what's written. That's my opinion. That's my more legal advice on the pickle pod.
I've learned that I've learned that the hard way a couple times. A verbal agreement, because it takes too long to change the contract, or it's going to cost too much money to hire guys to rewrite it, and then don't worry, you've got this. Only to find out that don't worry, you've got this means we've never planned on giving that to you in the first place. But the only way we could get you to sign it was to give you some reassurance. Yeah. So along those lines, yes, I agree with you, Zane. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I have not seen the contract. I don't know. I know that a lot of players have been excited about it and have been signing it and have been anxious to sign it. And so, yeah,
there's a lot to be excited about, right? I'm super excited about Tom entering this sport, just given his track record. Like you guys said, that is, right. There is something to be excited about there, most definitely. And I'm curious, have you guys ever had real jobs? I had a real job for a year, and my contracts were always 1 year. Thomas and Tyson, I don't know. Have you guys had like a
real job that you're contracted for?
Yeah.
I've never had a real job that I've had a contract for. I've had real jobs.
Like a sit down job, right? No.
I spent 80 hours a week avoiding a 40 hour a week desk job. And I've done that pretty much my entire life.
Congratulations. There you go.
Thank you.
Thomas, what about you? You're on mute, brother.
He's on mute. Good. Finally.
All right.
Not a good host move when you mute yourself.
No, you should mute yourself if you're going to, listen to somebody. Go ahead.
I was in your world, Zane. I was in finance. I was in investment banking before I left and went to a startup for a couple years, and then pickleball, which we're all now.
And how long were your contracts typically?
I don't know, because unlike you,
you didn't
I
read
like
them.
To blindly trust.
Uh-huh.
Just give it to me and I'll sign
those
it.
Those who are going to put money in front of me. Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
So my contract experience, Zane, is television. I've been on Survivor 4 times. I've been on another TV show called Marriage Boot Camp. And they give you very long contracts. And basically the gist of the contract, in maybe a little bit kinder terms, is we own you and we can make you look as stupid as we want, and there's nothing you can do about it. And then you can't go on any other show without our permission for 12 months thereafter.
Okay.
Something along those lines, but very, very long. Too long for someone who does not understand all the legal jargon in a contract to even process. Like, sure. We're talking 30, 40, 50 pages long.
Yeah.
And so, and at that point they say, sign it if you want to be on TV and get paid X amount to be on the show, or don't sign it and we'll find somebody else. And at that point you have to assess your own worth. Am I worth it? Are they calling my bluff? Do they have to have me on this thing? If they do, I can play hardball back. If I do not feel like they can, but I want to get paid for that particular thing, then I just sign it. And so that's like, and it's probably similar with this, like, what is my worth to the PPA? Do I have any leverage? Do I have any versus not? And so, yeah, it's, but if it's your first time signing a contract like this, it can be, you know, a little daunting, or you can just sign it and close your eyes and hope for the best. I don't know.
Well, if you also, if you're a player who's maybe younger or on the cusp of even being included or presented one of these contracts, and you see all these big names signing, and you probably have this sense of FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. You don't want to be the one player to not sign.
I haven't gotten my contract offer from the PPA yet.
I haven't either, which is weird. I have two wins.
You guys should follow up with Connor.
I'm gonna check the mailbox right now. Actually, I'll be right back.
going back to what you said about like verbal versus written, Zane, like, what are your original points there? I mean, one of the biggest questions is, okay, how are these contracts going to impact how players can participate in other events and tours? And coming off of the first Major League Pickleball, which was awesome, exciting, players were pumped. Everybody in the sport was pumped about it. What we know now is that the PPA, they'll have to provide players written approval in order to play in outside events. Now, they've given sort of verbal approval up to this point that Major League Pickleball players can still participate in that. But in this alternate universe where the PPA wants to tighten the reins, they could say no. And that presents a really interesting situation for some of these players who, because they were drafted, have equity in the league. So what a weird dynamic that creates. And hopefully it doesn't come to that point. But
yeah, well, I'm hoping that they can work something out. And look, MLP was almost everybody's favorite event. And it wouldn't be quite the same if it was fragmented, right? It's great because everybody was there. Everybody that's playing APP, like last year, it was myself, Dylan, JW, Jay, Lauren Stratman, like those players are there, and as well as the PPA players that are, you know, your Riley and Tyson and Ben. And it was great to have everybody at one place. And I think that the fragmentation doesn't really help anybody, right? Because if I go to the PPA and I beat some of the PPA players, it doesn't look great for the PPA. And if PPA players come to the APP and beat up on APP players, it doesn't look great for the APP. And so it just, I think it diminishes the value of both tours when you only have X amount of players that play. Right. And that was the beauty of Major League Pickleball, was you had everybody there other than Matt, Lucy and Simone. So you really had a very solid field there.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I believe that the PPA and Major League Pickleball are attempting to make an agreement, and I don't see why they wouldn't at least attempt to. Who knows whether they will or they won't. I'd love to be a fly on the wall of that conversation, but I'm stuck here with you guys. So,
oh, I'm sorry, Zane. I have a little game for you moving forward here. Let's here say goes. That you are
write
uncontracted.
This down. Hold on, you want to get a notebook, Zane?
Yeah, he'll remember it. It's so good.
Yeah.
Is this legal advice?
No, it's not legal advice. Okay. So you currently have not signed a PPA contract. You travel around the country going only to events where PPA players cannot play. You have to win the event, and then you continually announce that you are the greatest pickleball player of all time. And it's a shame. Stuff. It's a shame that the PPA players cannot play you because you are the greatest of all time, and draw people out. And then, boom, gigantic contract.
Sounds like Chet Subaru.
Yeah. So just go around, win all these events. Doesn't matter how big or small they are. Continually announce on social media that you are the greatest of all time and everyone else is afraid to play you.
I could help with that. I've got a nice little media machine behind us at the dink here.
Yes.
We could get you on the hype.
Zane Navratil announces again after winning the Rink-a-Dink 2022 challenge in wherever. And then just be like, still the best.
Let's take another piece of Tyson's advice here from last episode. And you can also change your name legally to number one player, Zane Navratil.
Yes. World's number one, Zane Navratil.
That'd be pretty funny. I've seen some pretty good stuff on pickleballtournaments.com with the name changes. There's an idea.
So when mountain biking first started, everybody could submit just a fake alias name. And so there's like Joe Singletrack and Mountain Bike Gym and stuff. And then they tightened it up and you had to like submit like real evidence of who you were. But those people who own those licenses, if you keep up on the dues, you still own them to this day.
Oh, so you're like grandfathered in?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
There we go. Something similar in pickleball.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
So the other point would be on the flip side is the APP for them. I mean, this is a direct shot across the bow, and they're now scrambling even for this next event because certain players, these new contracts mean, okay, they can't play in these APPs. And so some pros are already dropping from this upcoming event, and the APP announced that they're going to do an emergency wild card to fill spots because, you know, some of these top players now don't have partners. And it's sort of a crazy, interesting thing to watch happen and see how the APP adapts and continues forward.
Yeah, well, I think it's a move to make them have a little bit less of a barrier to PPA players, right? If somebody played all PPA and didn't meet their criteria for playing tier one events, but next year they're not going to sign this contract or they're not going to sign the 3-year contract, well, they don't want to be shut out, or the APP, I don't think, wants them to be shut out of several events. No, welcome them with open arms, I think, as they should. So I think it's just a direct competitive measure that makes sense to me. Right, draw the players that are on the fence, give them one more reason to decide to be an APP player, right? So again, I think it'll just be interesting to see. This whole deal has been out for what, a week at this point, right? Yeah. We're already seeing moves, counter moves, APP responding, MLP responding, calling players meetings. It's just it's great to sit back and watch, because right now the players are at the center of a three-way bidding war, the way that I see it, right? I'm gonna hang out and chill out for as long as they want to keep bidding, right? I'm not gonna sell right now. So
thing too that I think you touched on a little bit, 3 years is an eternity in pickleball, not only in the sport of pickleball but in the talent of pickleball. Mm-hmm. Like, are the top 15 players that are contracted currently in 3 years time, how many of them are going to still be in the top 15 or 20? Like, that's with it ever shifting and these younger players coming in and people learning to play pickleball at 11 years old, you're going to have more of that talent coming up and showing itself. And how many contracts can these organizations hold if they see new talent coming up, and what do they do with?
Yeah, you're right. Like, these new players coming in, are they going to have to, are they just going to keep spending money to lock these people up? I mean, there's a lot going on. The last thing I would say as far as APP responses go is they also said that at the end of this first tournament here, which what is it? Is it the Mesa Open?
Yeah, so there's Mesa, which I believe is kind of part of their 2022 schedule. But then there's the Boca Raton Masters, which was supposed to be a wrap up to 2021, even though Mesa is next week. Boca's 2 weeks from now. Boca's technically part of 2021. I think Mesa's technically part of 2022, unless I'm wrong on that. I think that's how that's working.
Well, so they said that at the end of the Masters, Boca, they are going to make an announcement about, and basically this sounds like a counter, but they're going to make some sort of announcement of some new project or plan or investment that's going to allow them to expand and create one unifying league. They had a number of logos on that announcement in addition to the APP logo. One of them, most interestingly, in addition to like the senior pro council, was USA Pickleball. So you wonder, are USA Pickleball and APP now looking at each other and saying, hey, we need to combine forces here because there's too much going on and there's these other parties accumulating too much power. We kind of need to band together in order to survive and move forward and thrive.
But, yeah. Well, I mean, to me, I think a combination of USA Pickleball events and APP Pickleball events has been working in places like Hilton Head and Atlanta, and I think it's a natural partnership, right? I think APP has a track record of running good events and appealing well to the amateurs. I don't know why they wouldn't partner in a lot more events. So I think it makes sense strategically, and I think there's also a little something more to look forward to on that
whatever
date that is.
Yep. Just more to the saga.
Yep, yep.
It'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out.
Mm-hmm.
Zane, did you want to talk about the spin serve at all?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you could either just listen to me here, or you could read the blog. Nobody's gonna go read my blog if they can just listen to me.
Read the blog. Let's just ask a couple questions here.
Sure.
The PPA has outlawed any type of hand spin on the pro circuit serving. Mm-hmm. I defeated a 12-year-old boy in singles yesterday who was flipping the ball.
Thank you.
The pickleball gymnast, shout out, Will. And he was flipping the ball, and I almost was like, hey, bro, that's not PPA pro rules, but I let him get away with it. And what's next for that? Is it going to be all across the board? Is it just going to be at the PPA? Is it worth having three different serves for three different rule books?
Yeah. Well, from the sounds of it, you've improved your returning game, Tyson, because I remember last time I was flipping a couple serves at you. I think you returned zero out of
7?
10, maybe?
7, I think.
Something like that.
You didn't give
7?
Me 10. Yeah,
gotcha.
You gave me
yeah,
7.
Yeah, I missed 1 or 2. I don't think I missed 3. But so good. I'm glad to hear that.
I don't
that
think
you're...
No, you gave me 7 serves. You might have missed 2, but I didn't get a paddle hardly on. I got a paddle on some, but I didn't return any of them.
There you go. You also so go to Tyson's Instagram for that one, guys.
We have to redo it. The lighting was bad. But yeah, but he wasn't flipping them like you were flipping them. Like they had a teeny bit of kick to them, but not like a 90-degree angle.
Sure. Gotcha. Maybe this might surprise some people, but the way that I see it is, and the way that the rationale behind USA Pickleball's rule change was, they don't want the serve to become the focus of a rally. And now I am opinionated on how I don't believe that that's the case and that players are getting better at returning the serves. But if that's your rationale, right, that you don't want the serve to be dominant part of pickleball, then I think picking one way of spinning a toss and outlawing it, yet allowing another way, doesn't make any sense. The way I see it, you're either for a pre-spin toss or you're against a pre-spin toss. Who cares how you get the spin, in my opinion? And so the PPA just said, we're against pre-spin toss. That's fine. I don't agree with that, but at least it's logical. They're not saying you can spin it this way, but you can't spin it that way, right? They're saying we don't want any spin on any toss. We're going to do our own thing, and that's fine. I think the PPA's rule change, while I disagree with it, is logical. Again, USA Pickleball now is You can spin it one way, but not the other. And we'll have to leave a little bit more of the explanation for why I think that that rule change is going to be counter-effective. You'll have to read the blog for that one. Shout out to the Dink blog.
Nice. I like this. Yeah.
Yeah, I get paid $1 every time I mention the Dink blog. So I think we're up to 3 on Venmo now.
Yeah. You're going to Venmo him, Thomas?
Well, I don't have Venmo. I shut mine down. So, but if you sent them already, there's not a lot I can do. The request, it's in cyberspace. So,
okay.
You hate to see it. But I mean, I think it does cause a little bit of confusion with rules for players that are going back and forth, but you figure it out a little bit. Worse than anything, I think it's confusion for the viewers. Why are players on this time that I'm watching a live stream doing this weird goofy thing where they're turning their back and hitting the ball, but then these guys are doing nothing? I think it causes confusion for the viewers. I don't think multiple sets of rules are great at the pro game. I think eventually we'll move to a spot where we have different sets of rules for different skills, just like most sports do, right? In tennis, when you're under 12 years old, you play on a court that's like half the size with a tiny tennis racket and a funny looking ball, right? You have different rules based on different skill levels, just like you do in basketball. The 3-pointer is different, right? Women's basketball is a little bit smaller. There's different rules for different people. I think we're eventually going to move that way, but other sports don't have different rules within the pro game. I think my prediction is in 2023, or this year, there's going to be a rule change proposed going to an open hand, no spin toss in USA Pickleball. I think that will probably go through.
Like a table tennis.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. But then the serve rule, let's not forget, the serve rule was broken before I broke it worse, right? There are 3 elements of the serve rule. The top part of your paddle has to be below the level of your wrist. You need to make contact below your waist, which is defined as the belly button or interpreted as the belly button, even though belly button is not written anywhere in any rule. And then finally, you have to be swinging in an upwards motion. You can watch people serve, watch a Tyson serve, watch a Deckel serve, watch me serve, Baby Curio serve. Even if you slow these things down as slow as they go on YouTube, you can't tell whether these things are legal. Referees cannot enforce any of the 3 serve rules. So what I think should happen is I think we should go all drop serve. That is an even playing field, and all you have to police is make sure that the person's not throwing the ball down or throwing it up. Right now, all 3 portions of the serve rule are completely subjective and unenforceable. So hopefully we can go to a more sort of standard rule. That's my opinion. I think that's going to be down the road a couple of years, but there you go.
That's
more serve controversy from Zane.
Very insightful, honestly, because you get on the pickleball forum. If you post a video of you serving, you get 50 people saying that's illegal. You get another 50 people taking the screenshot of your point of contact and saying, no, that's totally legal. Then you get a huge all-out war of whether it's legal or not. And then you ask a professional and they're like, that's legal. And then you ask another professional and they said, that's illegal. And then you go to a tournament and nobody ever corrects you on your serve at all because it looks totally fine. And I think that is many people's experiences when posting videos of their serve online. And so that's very interesting to say that the drop serve is, and it really is, it's the easiest and maybe the only way to police a consistent serve across everyone.
Yeah, I think so. And there's, you know, I think padel tennis might be a decent model. I think that's the other sport to my knowledge that uses a drop serve. It'll be easier to enforce than anything else. So I think that's the 3 to 5 year plan for the serve in pickleball.
You heard it here first. Well,
that's news again.
Yeah. Or did you put this on the blog first?
It was on the blog. So.
Okay. You heard it here second. So, Zane, do you got to run?
Yeah, I should probably head out of here. What time is it, gentlemen?
It is 20, almost quarter to. Not okay. Quite quarter to.
All right, guys. Yeah.
Thank Thank you, Zane.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks for all your time. What are you going to go do now? Some training?
Yep, going to go play some pickle.
Classic, the life of a pro.
Work on my drop serve.
You're going to be ahead of the curve by only working on drop serve for the next 3 years.
There you go.
Really intelligent.
All right, guys. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot. A lot of fun. Till next time. Yeah, if you're desperate for another person to come on the pod again, I'm always here. So.
Okay, next week.
Got it. Later, boys.
Later.
See you, Zane.
Yeah.
Thomas, another informative edition of Pickle Pod. That was great.
Another very politically correct edition.
How you doing? You're in Austin now.
Yeah, I'm in Austin right now.
And
can you see this like sun glare right now?
It just makes you look angelic. It's fine. Just leave it alone. No matter what you do.
The sun keeps shifting. So it's like I fix it. And then it.
Yeah, no, I don't know why you keep. There you go. Nope, you're wrong. Just sit down. Thomas,
yeah.
Is this your first day in Austin?
Yesterday was.
Yesterday? And you're just in a hotel right now?
Yeah.
And when are you moving in? Do you have an apartment?
I mean, so I have my apartment. I went in there. And looks awesome. No furniture. Furniture's in transit. So, yeah.
You own your
first
own
day of class is tomorrow too.
First day of class? Weekend. Wow.
Yeah. Full schedule.
You got a lot going on.
Saturday and Sunday too. Nightmare.
A nightmare? Wow. Is it making you rethink going back to school?
Having somebody tell me that I have to stick to a schedule again? Yes.
Dude, I'm going to tell you a quick story about me when I tried to go back to school. So I had been out of school for like 6 years and I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm going to go take some placement tests and maybe get back into school. I went to the local university and I took some placement tests in math. And I think it kind of like in general, like you take tests and they are like, okay, here's what level you would be at for these classes. And I took the tests and then I set up a meeting with the counselor to go over the tests with me. And I went into the counselor, and this is when I was probably about your age, like 27, 28 years old. And we're talking about school and going back to school and what classes I should take. And halfway through the meeting, I just said, I hate to do this to you, but I'm not going to waste any more of your time. I can already feel that I'm going to drop out again. I can already feel it. Like I'm not excited to wear a first day of school outfit. I'm not excited to like go back to school and do classes. And I'm just going to stop you short. And she's like, no, it's way better when you're older. I was like, I can feel that it's not. I just like this conversation we're having is making me completely unexcited for it. And I left.
Well, you and I are the same in that we don't like a lot of structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We like to kind of be our own bosses. So.
Sure. I agree with that. So.
It'd be interesting to follow a schedule because I thought that I only had classes tomorrow afternoon and it was more like orientation stuff.
Yeah.
And then I just looked at the schedule and I have like full days Friday. Uh-oh.
Saturday, but you're going to these classes with the goal of becoming a better boss for yourself, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes. That's the goal at the end is to become a better boss for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So Zane was great. I wish we could have had the same conversation we are having before we started recording while we were recording. Because there's a lot more detail to those contracts that I think people don't really realize. There are opinions. I think we all have slightly different opinions on good, bad, what's right, what's, you know, and.
Well, and I haven't seen the contract. So I also like you and I are not fully aware, or maybe you are. I haven't seen the contract. I don't know all the writing in it. I haven't seen all the fine print. I don't know all that stuff. So until you do, you kind of have to, you know, hold some reservation. Because unless you're aware of it all, then
there's a lot of different. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to take this conversation. One of the biggest questions I have is like, okay, so the PPA, The PPA just announced this like slate of signings, right? Which is, you know, they just signed Leah Jansen, AJ Kohler, Thomas Wilson, Jay DeVilliers, Lauren Stratman, Callan Dawson, Pat Smith, Rob Nunnery, and most recently, Steve Deacon and Spencer Smith. And I think it's implied that most of the people from last year are re-signing. But what we don't know is whether these players signed the 1 year or new beefed up 3 year 100% exclusivity contracts.
My understanding was that they were making everyone, even people who were currently contracted for a year, re-sign to the 3 year.
I'm sure they presented the new ones and said, we'd like to replace these ones with the 3 years. But whether a person said okay or stuck with the first year and they signed one of them, the PPA was still going to announce that signing, right? Whether it was a 3 year or a 1 year.
I guess you're right. Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm just not sure who signed what contract at this point. But I do know that some big names have already executed the 3 year contract. And I think as these big names sign this, let's just call them the lower ranked pros will follow suit.
Yeah. Cause they'll want to be associated with the top ranked guys.
Well, they want to be on the premium tour, right? They want to be
sure.
They want to be playing with the best. And right now, that's what the PPA is. And from everyone I've talked to, Tom Dundon has very, very big plans for, they're already off to a good start, but making the PPA the premier tour in all of pickleball. And these recent moves are lending to just that. So it's been fun to watch.
It was a lot. Like as it started dropping, I was like, wow, this is a lot of off-season news. This is great.
Yeah.
And we had missed a week last week because we could have been talking about this last week over the holidays because I think it had already dropped before our usually scheduled appearance here. And I was like, oh man, this stuff, if we keep going this trajectory, we're going to have a stack of news we have to get through.
Oh, it's not done. I mean, it's not done. There's still going to be a lot more developments. It's interesting. Okay. Can you see this rainbow though?
Yeah. You look so angelic right now, bro.
I mean,
come on. Well, I've got a development for you, Thomas Shields.
Okay. Let's hear it.
I discovered an electrolyte mix that works.
Oh, I'm drinking some right now, dude.
You are? Is it Relight?
I have, yeah.
It is Relight.
I just got it in the mail.
You got it? Yes, dude.
I'm having this. Oh, that's better. I'm having boost right now, raspberry mango. First of all,
yeah.
Delightful. Second of all, I think it... I think it got me a little too amped up.
Oh, because of the energy. Yeah. So they have an energy version.
Yeah.
They have a regular version. They have a pre-workout. And I discovered it a little while ago. And I'm not really that I don't really feel like the effects of products that often. I'm not a supplement guy, but this is the first supplement where I've felt like I felt muscle cramps go away because of it. And one of the reasons is that it has over four times the amount of electrolytes as other leading brands. So it's actually replacing, like if you sweat for an hour, you're losing about 1,000 milligrams of sodium, but some of the leading brands have less than 100 milligrams of sodium in their electrolyte mix. This has that amount that you're losing. And that's why it tastes a little salty. It's like a salty, sweet flavor, but it's because it has so many more electrolytes and it uses unprocessed salt or macro blend that they have pulled from the earth.
Like so there's sea salt. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like from a salt mine in the middle of Utah. So that's just my thing. Like I like sharing products I love, and Relight is the only electrolyte mix.
They sent they sent in, so I got a box of it, and they sent just a thing of salt.
Yes.
Too, just sea salt.
Yes. And it's delicious.
Right. And I was reading this book, and it was all about, like, I don't know what it was called, Own the Day. Right. So, like, you're just trying to, like, improve yourself in any which way. Right. From breathing to, like, what you're putting in your body. And one of the things they said was, if you don't have one of these supplements or something, just adding like a pinch of actual sea salt to your water can help tremendously with hydration. One, it just helps with water retention.
Right.
The other is that it has all these like natural minerals that have electrolytes and all that stuff. So
yeah.
I was actually adding sea salt to my water sometimes.
Now you just
actually just sent a real, yeah, like, so they're proving that they actually use real sea salt, but
And this is better because it's unprocessed. So they're not using like the white table salt that's been heavily processed and refined. Right. This
yeah, yeah, no, you can't do that from the earth. Table salt. You really can't do that.
Straight from the earth.
You got to do the, sea salt.
Well, cool. I'm glad you enjoy it. I sent you some, had them send you some because I loved it so much. And if you see me on the court, I'll probably have it on me. If you want to taste it, I'll give it out for free if I have it.
Yeah. What'd you think about the Dink Awards?
I liked them, but like I said, like I wish I could have chosen all the winners. Just like
we need some, like, I wanted to do more like funny topics, right? Like,
yeah.
I wanted like Zane to win like most handsome or something, you know, like something like sort of like,
well, you can't turn it into a full joke.
Yeah. Right. So I think it had legitimacy and it was really great. Like the players were super receptive to it. A lot of them were posting, I think they're proud of them. And the fans voted. I mean, they're real awards, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Thousands.
So they're fan, fan awards. As long as we,
Right. It's like the People's Choice Awards.
Cause the other thing we could do is have a panel of people then give the awards out rather than put it to a vote. But I like the vote. The vote's good. It gets people involved.
Yeah.
I also wasn't up for any awards. Like you would think like number one pickleball podcast in the world would be an award that we would
have won. We should have done that. We should have. And then we were the only contestants. We should have had a category
just
a podcast and that's just the thing. And then we give a thank you speech and all that. All right, but listeners, you know, if you have an idea for like some funny or like clever awards or something like that, let's hear them.
We're gonna keep giving awards even after award season is over, or we'll for next year.
We could do like mid-year awards too, right?
Okay.
You know, we make the rules over here. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
On that note, though, can you guys please, if you're enjoying this podcast, Spotify, hit the follow button. It helps us a ton. Apple Pods, subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment, like the video. I was saying our last episode crushed it.
Yeah.
It was really encouraging.
No surprise, though. It was a great
4,000 people listened to that one.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. And I think only up from here. And I just think that I think the audience of pickleball is truly just growing, as is the sport. I mean, Thomas, the amount of people interested in the sport are growing with the amount of people playing it, obviously. I mean,
I've had people stop me on the courts and tell me how much they love the podcast.
Yeah. No,
which means we're doing our job.
Great reception to it as well. Somebody came up to me in a gym like right before the new year and was like, I love the pickle pod. And I was like, really, really?
Yeah.
Like that's, and
you were getting recognized in public because of it, which is beautiful. Like, it's beautiful to know. It makes us motivated to continue to give you the content that you desire for your ear holes.
Do I get stopped walking down the street? No, not quite yet.
I do, but not for pickle pod. We will. We will. If you go to a pickleball, if you go to play pickleball somewhere, someone will stop you, Thomas, and commend you on a fantastic podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. And on New Year's, some guy came up to me and was like talking my ear off about, and I was like, dang, that's awesome. So yeah, no, we're pickleball's growing. This pod is growing.
Yeah.
All is right.
Pickle pod to the moon.
forcing it a little bit there. I think we're at too many syllables at this point.
Okay, fine. Fine.
But yeah, I think we're right in an hour. I think
we kind of crushed this episode. That's it.
It flew by.
It really did. It always flies by. We have great guests and we have a lot of fun with them. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Any closing remarks, Thomas, before we skedaddle?
No, we'll get somebody on next week. Interesting to talk about if there's any more developments to this whole thing, because there's still a lot more that's going to happen. But we're also updating on the newsletter, the blog. Follow us on social. We'll keep updating everybody as we find out more.
Yep. I concur. Okay.
All right. See you next week.
We did it.